Well, welcome back to DougHammock.com and to our current podcast project on rethinking sex education. I try each episode to post some thoughts to get a conversation started about a viable and helpful way to educate our young people about sexuality. And I want to thank many of you who have commented and asked questions, because I often integrate those comments into upcoming episodes, and I will gather everything together at the end when I write a book on this project. This podcast is in many ways a rough draft for that book. Now, the title of today's episode continues from last week, Christians, Sex, Yin and Yang, and this is part two of two parts. Now, in the last episode, we saw how the Eastern construct of yin and yang can help us think about masculine and feminine energy. We saw how that can help us approach these energies in complementary instead of competitive ways. We saw how men and women carry both, and that human growth requires that we develop our non-dominant energy. We also saw a couple of examples of how we suffer, particularly socially, when we honor one and dishonor the other. Yin and yang, we saw, are opposite, but they are also interdependent. They are opposite, and yet they are complementary. Together, they make up everything that is, and yin cannot exist without yang, nor can yang without yin. Consequently, we can never truly be separated from one another. These energies can never be separated one from another. But in our society, I said last time, we're trying to do just that. We have inadvertently fallen into honoring one over the other, and as a result, our society suffers. In this episode, we'll see that the imbalance not only causes us to suffer in these social contexts, these societal contexts, but also causes us to suffer in our sexual lives. We'll see how our society shoehorns feminine sexuality into a masculine framework and then demonizes women who don't jump to. If it weren't such a common experience, we'd call it aggression or we'd call it pillage. But because it's a shared blind spot, we tend to normalize it. So let's look at that. And begin by reminding ourselves about the evolutionary process. You and I have been shaped over a very long process. As we were roaming the savannah, competing for survival, the helpful traits survived and the unhelpful ones did not. Mutations that gave us traits that helped us stay alive and procreate, those got passed along to successive generations, and those that did not, did not. It's been a beautiful, sophisticated, yet simple and elegant process. What is good gets passed along. What is needed is surfaces and is retained. What is valuable is preserved. Consequently, what we carry within ourselves today carries the accumulated results of this long and beautiful process. And what we are today contains both yin and yang. Both are in us, and both help us survive and thrive. Now, as we saw in the last episode, this includes the energies of our hearts and minds, and today we'll see that it includes the energies of our sexual drives as well. So over thousands of years, we have evolved into two genders, two evolved ways to approach sex. The yin sex drive has distinctives that serve a function. The yang sex drive has distinctives that serve a function. Now, as we saw last time, women and men carry both energies. And we saw, as a general rule, men are more associated with the yang sexual drive, the yang sexual energy, and women with the yin. And again, each gender carries both, and the full development of our humanity invites us to develop our less dominant drive. But as a general rule of thumb, the masculine sex drive serves an important purpose. It gets the ball rolling. The feminine sex drive serves an important purpose as well. It keeps the ball rolling. Masculine sexuality, rooted in the external energy of yang, is aroused visually and quickly. It flares up like a fire, frequently with great intensity. It sees a sexual shape and is biologically and psychologically compelled to move forward, to extend, to bring completion. Masculine sex drive, rooted in the external energy of yang, initiates and pushes and ignites the sexual process, initiates, pushes, and ignites procreation. Without this function, the species would die out. So good for yang sexuality, well done, yang sexuality. And, as a general rule, the yin sexual drive is aroused relationally and more slowly. Yin sexual drive tends to be awakened gradually. and awakens in response to traits that speak to stability, like resourcefulness, kindness, attentiveness. Every so often, PBS repeats a documentary on evolutionary sexuality. It highlights how differently males and females tend to be attracted to one another's bodies. Males tend to be drawn to childbearing features like breasts and hips, and females tend to be drawn to the parts of a man's body that speaks of stability and security, like a kind face or strong shoulders and haunches. The way the yin sexual drive manifests serves the stability of sex and the procreation that it produces. Now again, yin focuses on keeping the relationship together after sex happens. The feminine sexual drive, rooted in yin energy, prioritizes relationship by being more selective preceding sexual arousal. In other words, the feminine sexual drive isn't looking for just any partner, but the right partner. Biology often supports both energies. In the case of the feminine, a slower arousal rate gives time for selectiveness in the search for a suitable partner, time to seek a partner suited to sustained relationship. Without this stability, the offspring are not tended well, the species suffers. So again, good for yang sexuality. Well done, yang sexuality. Yin slows down, yang hurries up. Yin sets criteria in place, yang tries to push past them. Yin works for stable environment for offspring, yang works to make sure there will be offspring. Yin looks for a partner who will stay, yang looks for any port in a storm. Both energies are good, both sexual drives are good, both serve a purpose, a balanced purpose. And when the system is working well, the masculine sex drive, rooted in yang energy, in heart, in mind, and in body, gets the ball rolling. And it does it with fire intensity. It hurries. It chases. It brings the energy of imperative. It initiates. It begins. It drives to completion. The masculine sex drive, rooted in yang energy, hurries, takes less time, doesn't form long-term perspectives, gives less thought to the long-term implications of sex, which again gets the ball rolling. The feminine sex drive, rooted in yin energy, works to keep the ball rolling. The feminine sex drive, rooted in yin energy, in heart and in mind and in body, makes time to honor the needs of the relationship and gives more thought to selection and connection. Again, if this partner is going to be around after sex, then the offspring are going to be better served. Usually carrying more yin sexuality, female bodies produce and nurture offspring. Yin sexual energy helps that happen. Yin sexual energy moves at a pace that makes time for mate selection. Will this partner stay around, stay connected, foster stability, be here for the duration? These different energies are in us, and they help us complement one another. And understanding them helps us understand one another. It helps us, for example, understand why an older man and a younger woman often find compatibility. We typically cast May-December relationships as the man robbing the cradle and the woman being a gold digger. But when we understand these complementary sexual energies and these complementary sexual drives, masculine yang energy is attracted to get the ball rolling in the fertile territory of youth. And feminine yin energy is attracted to the stability and to the accomplishment that comes with age. And so both are in many ways internally authentic quests. Now, as we'll explore in the next episode, evolution favors the offspring. And human offspring take a long time to get ready for life. Consequently, evolution favors stable pair bonds that give the offspring time and space they need for that preparation to go into life. Elk babies are born and then 3 hours later can run with the herd. All it takes to successfully parent an elk baby is to time sex so that calves are born in the spring when the grass is growing. Consequently, elk sex evolved to happen at the right time of year. Male and female elks don't need to mate for life. A male elk looks for any female he can win, and a female elk looks for the strongest buck available to assure strong calves, and that's about all it takes. But human babies take a long time to develop. Consequently, human parenting demands are much steeper. Consequently, successful human mating and parenting require a stable environment to train and to nurture the offspring for years. And human biology and human social norms have evolved over the years to support this optimal environment for the offspring. And the different energies of yin and yang and the different sexual drives associated with them complement one another in the achieving of this purpose. Feminine and masculine sexual drives, yin and yang energies, provide complementary biological, emotional, and sexual impulses. And these dovetail into this evolutionary system quite nicely, and when they do, the species thrives. But sometimes, the system breaks down. And this moment in history is one of those times. Instead of balancing the evolutionary needs of yin and yang, our culture tends to honor yang energy and dishonor yin. As a general rule, more developed civilizations tend to give more honor and protection to yin sensibilities. They honor the stability and security that fosters stable relationships, and they normalize sexual practices and sexual norms that protect yin priorities. Less developed civilizations tend to honor masculine sexuality. Might makes right. Let's get it on, right here, right now. Females become property, objects, chattel. The male bonks the female on the head, hauls her off, and has his way with impunity. Now, historically, if an imbalance occurs, it usually honors the yang energy, the stronger, the visual, the rapid, the release. But again, as cultures become more developed, they tend to honor the yin impulse to guard and protect and nurture. They create and enforce norms that protect the young and the vulnerable. When a culture falls into a yang-honoring imbalance, less emphasis and priority is put on the long-term well-being of the young, less focus goes to stability and security or durable pair bonds, more emphasis is put on sex without consideration of the long-term, less emphasis is placed on the psychological, emotional, relational systems that are required to make pair relationships strong. And this imbalance is exactly what has happened in our society. The way that we practice sex together honors yang sexual objectives and dishonors yin sexual objectives. Ours has become a hurried sexuality. We use the visual appeal of the female shape and the power that it evokes to sell stuff. Everything from toothpaste to human worth. See it, want it, have it, and do it in a hurry. Ours have become quick sexual norms. Ubiquitous porn is available right here, right now. Strip joints, one-night stands. The tendency has been to honor the yang instinct for quickness and immediacy. Our sexual norms afford yang sexuality its desire, greater frequency in sexual encounter at a lowered upfront cost, a lowering of the criteria that yin sexuality seeks. Our practices tend to dishonor even female biology. Tends to dishonor yin sexuality, the evolved feminine focus on stability. Our sexual norms are working against our social instincts to care for our own long-term well-being. Several years ago, if you were watching television late at night, you saw the Girls Gone Wild video phenomenon. These were video productions not of porn stars, but of college girls who were on spring break. Expose your breasts for the camera, the producers pushed, so that you can get the attention of the young men. Porn is edited for the same effect. It cuts right to the heat of passion. Porn honors the hurried pace of masculine yang sexuality and gives the impression to young women, to young men that women are always ready to go in a heated rush. That they are ready to go on the same timetable and for similar reasons and similar motivations as young men. The message this imbalance sends to our young girls is this. Young girl, you should become aroused quickly and visually. Young girl, you should have the same sexual predilections that young men do. And if you don't, something is wrong with you. Young girl, when a boy tells you about his sex needs, we expect you to have the same sex needs. So, young girl, disregard your own biology, disregard your yin sexuality, and serve his. And if you don't, you'll get dumped. And, young girl, if your boobs don't match the visual expectations of masculine sexuality, that is, if your boobs look normal, then you better get a boob job and you better get quickly, otherwise you'll get dumped. And, young girl, you should submerge your own biological instincts and you should put out by the third date. If you don't, something's wrong with you. If you don't want to, something's wrong with you. You should have the same sexual instincts that the boys do. Put out or get dumped. Young girl, hook up. Young girl, have one-night stands. Young girl, give the boy a blowjob. Sure, you evolved over hundreds of thousands of years to hold out for something more secure, but ignore that. Be masculine. Be more yang or get dumped. And young boy, you can't help yourself. Your sexual energy is just too important. Don't deny satisfaction. Don't even defer satisfaction. If a girl doesn't put out, dump her. And young boy, your male sexuality is so important. It deserves only the best. Don't settle for a real woman's shape. Expect nothing less than the idealized shape you see on the internet. And if a girl doesn't have that shape, dump her. Get another girl. And young boy, you can play games of violence, but don't play games of nesting. You can play games about conquest, but don't play house. You can play war, but don't play with dolls. Whatever you do, young girl, whatever you do, young boy, honor the energy of yang and dishonor the energy of yin. We've been living with this yin-yang imbalance for a while now. About 60 years ago, the norm started skewing toward everybody screws everybody early and often. It's been going on long enough now that the grandchildren of the imbalance have reached their own sexual maturity. This is enough time for three generations to have normalized the imbalance. And the fruit that it has borne in our society is just as evolution would have predicted. The consequences are being borne by our offspring. When the drive for stability is dishonored, stability suffers. Families become fragile, and families have become fragile. Incomes are now divided among multiple households. Parent-child time is diminished, just like the yin-yang worldview told us would happen. Now, the fight for women's rights has been a nuanced struggle, but only in the last few decades has the fight shifted to fight for femininity, not just for females. Without using the term, the fight has shifted to right the imbalance that honors the energy and the priorities of yin. The battle for equal rights and the battle for equal pay, this is important. But there's another layer of the struggle that is for feminine values, and to have those values have a place at the table. To have the yin sex drive be equally honored as the yang. Several years ago in our own spiritual community, I was invited into a couple of discussions between some younger and some older women. The young women had been discussing their dissatisfaction with their sex lives, and it was at a potluck that they struck up a conversation with some of the older women in the community. They didn't use these terms, but what they were struggling with was to try and fit into our society's masculinized sexual norms. They had picked up a sense of how sex should be, and they were disappointed that it wasn't turning out that way. They complained about their emotional satisfaction. They complained about the quality of their orgasms. They complained about the overall experience of their sexuality. And two of the young women in the discussion were talking about going to sex therapy. They figured that they needed to somehow get fixed. Now, again, they didn't frame it this way, but the yin side of the sexual experience had been stripped out of their lives, had been stripped out of their sexual lives, and had even been stripped out of their expectations. What was left over was good for their males, but not good for them. And the tragedy was they felt like something was wrong with them. It never occurred to them to challenge the social conditioning until they started talking to these older women. Because clearly, there's nothing wrong with these young women. When masculine sexuality becomes the social value, becomes the social norm, when feminine sexuality is dishonored and devalued and diminished, well, the women suffer. But so do the men, and so do the children. We all suffer when we live in an imbalanced society. When yin sexuality isn't honored, yin values, yin biology, the yin sex drive, nobody holds out for suitable partners before engaging in sex, which diminishes the strength of relationships and of our society. When yang sexuality is overvalued, we spoil and we infantilize our young boys. We don't require them to grow up any further than their biological drives. Young boys want sex. It's just the way it is. And if they get what they want without having to meet any criteria, they aren't required to stretch and they aren't required to grow. There's no demand for them to grow in their feminine side. There's no requirement for them to meet the yin demand for commitment. No requirement for them to meet the yin demand for fidelity or for nurture or for the capacity to cherish and to support. They can get away thinking of a woman as a piece. They don't get the whole sexual journey. They don't get the stability of Eros and Pragma and Philos and Agape. They get a piece. They aren't forced into growth. They aren't forced into giving as well as receiving. They don't become kinder and more tender and more faithful because yin isn't taught to make a stand, isn't taught to insist. When yin sexuality is not honored, many women become increasingly dissatisfied with their sexual experience, and they increasingly withdraw from that dissatisfying experience. They increasingly experiment with lesbian sex to have yin-honoring sexual experiences. And along the way, men's sexual experience becomes correspondingly dissatisfying. I've spoken to a lot of frustrated husbands through the years. Uninformed by yin sexuality, many are frustrated that their women are not more like them. They are taught by a culture that yang is what sexuality is. And because their women don't share it, they feel that their women don't love them. Women learn not to expect tenderness or kindness or trustworthiness or fidelity. The things that yin sexuality holds out for, we so often let go. And to add insult to injury, along the way, women get castigated for not being sexual enough, for not initiating enough, or really for not being yang enough. When yin sexuality is not honored, relationships become fragile and they break. More and more women raise children without a committed father. More and more offspring are raised in single-parent homes. Fewer and fewer resources are available to devote to preparing the next generation to contribute to society. Now, the social struggle of the past generations have been many. They've been against slavery, for the right to vote, for civil rights, against war. There's a struggle in our generation as well, and I think it is the struggle for balancing honor for both yin and yang, for the masculine sexual drive, the feminine sexual drive. Now, we still think of the workplace as a place for masculine, not feminine values. We think business is for business, by which we mean business is about conquest and achievement. So don't bring family concerns here, because the workplace is a yin-free zone. Do family on your own time. Which puts our society in a real bind. By the late 1990s and the early 2000s, it required two average incomes for a household to stay in the middle class. Now, as a society, we could banish women back to the 1950s home. Yeah, that should work. Or we could agree to send the average household into poverty. Or we could figure out how to honor both yin and yang energies, yin and yang sensibilities in the workplace. It really is a civil necessity for our time. Our children suffer when we don't honor both. We need to balance our kill-the-buffalo needs with our care for the young and the elderly, care for the weak and the vulnerable needs. We figure this out when we write the weekly schedule at work, when we accept or reject flex time, when we accept or reject job sharing. It gets worked out in our economic scheduling kinds of decisions. But it also gets worked out in bed. It gets worked out in the norms that we practice in bed. I went to South Africa during the apartheid years with a group of black and white Americans. It was during the height of the struggles when violence and civil unrest were at their most frightening. Everyone was worried. Everyone was on edge. And on a road trip with this group, we stopped to eat at a white-owned restaurant, and the owner saw us coming in the parking lot and rushed to the door to stop us. Once he realized that we were Americans who didn't understand things, he was a little apologetic, but nevertheless, he would allow the white people in, but he wouldn't allow the black. There was a South African man traveling with us, and he, like so many, was worn out by years of this tension and ongoing struggle and violence. And the incident triggered in him a long pent-up fury. "You," he said, you are the reason our nation is being torn apart." It sounds all rational and sensible when I write it down, but there was a fury and a ferocity that day. This was the kind of vein-popping, spittle-emitting wrath that rose from a deep sense of anxiety and injustice. And he shouted, you and your short-sighted protection of the old ways, you and your blindness to the reality that's upon us, you are why there is bloodshed in our streets. It is you and it is this. And all the while, you sitting there thinking you're doing a good thing, you stupid, stupid man, you stupid, stupid ox of a man. I guess ox is a really bad thing in South Africa. Well, I grew up with traditional Christian people. And I grew up with people who defended our society's yin-yang imbalance. And they believed they were doing the will of God. And they believed that they were honoring our ancient scriptures. And they believed that they were doing the right thing. But our religion has perpetuated a lot of damage and done it in the name of God's view of gender. But while we were blind, while we were being stupid, stupid oxen, the struggle started without us. Voices outside the church have led the way. Voices outside the church have pointed us back to our own ancient truths, truths that we lost along the way when we lost our way. It is no longer sufficient to grant women equal pay in a male-honoring system. We need to advocate for yin values on equal footing with yang. We have to advocate for flex schedules so our families can care for the children and for the elderly and the sick. We need to honor the yin instinct for a reasonable pacing of life, a pacing that doesn't only dance to the yang tune. And we start with what we teach our young boys and our young girls about sex and about getting into bed together. We start with what we teach them about their different ways of sexual arousal. We can teach our girls to stand up for their own feminine, evolutionary sexual sensibilities. And we can teach our boys to honor those sensibilities. And it begins with teaching our young girls that they don't have to behave sexually as if they were young boys, and teaching our young boys to work with and to appreciate the difference. Right now, we have not taught our boys to make love to women. We have sent them an unspoken message that women are men with boobs, and that they're wired the way that men are. We have taught our young boys to not understand and to not honor the sensibilities and the sexuality of the yin. And we have taught them not to adapt their own sexuality to work with it. So a good place to start in this broader struggle for social justice is with our sex drives. A good place to start with this broader struggle for social justice is with the norms and practices that inform how we get into bed with one another. A good place to grapple with the centuries of patriarchal overlording is in bed. All right, yin-yang sensibilities, yin-yang energies. In the next episode, we'll look at how religion's wisdom, how religion's intuitive understanding informs the pace at which sexual relationships form best. And we'll look at it from the perspective of an anthropologist's studies. But before that, what do you think about this? What's stirring in your heart about this yin-yang stuff? I'd really love to hear what you say. You can post it on your thoughts on the website or on the Facebook author page. All right, next time.